extreme time. There are no limits. The mind is infinite.
Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and on this show I like to investigate the nature of consciousness, who we are as evolving spiritual beings, and sort of along with that, we have a technology that you're watching, that you're looking at, that is really the source of a new reality. And my guest tonight is an expert in that field. He is the only person to re-emerge from the Android meme, whatever that means. And he is here to give us the understanding of media ecology, media, and the technological innovation of consciousness. His name is Bob Dobbs. Bob Dobbs, I'm sure you've heard of, the Church of the Subgenius, the ancestor and the inheritor of the McLuhan dynasty. How's that, Bob?
That's pretty close. I didn't create the Church of Subgenius. I just inspired it. They took it and ran with it.
But you are, I would say, a media authority. I mean, and the way that technology has influenced consciousness. So,
because I was involved with very powerful factions in the solar government, the management of the planet, we had to understand the effects of consciousness and of technology. That was our field. That's what we managed.
I mean, there's lots of writings, lots of things. You actually say we have been, in a way, consumed by technology.
Let me give you a background on that. I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson, a famous American writer, who about 1870 established that and made the statement that all technologies were extensions of our senses, both inner and external, of our body parts.
Right.
And that idea influenced a lot of artists and scientists at the turn of the century. So later, James Joyce and Finnings Wake did a whole epic satirizing the idea that technologies were extensions of us, that were miming us. And then McLuhan went on and developed that same Joycean theme and applied it to technologies that came after Joyce, like the computer and the satellite. McLuhan's known for being an expert on TV, but that was already a given in Finnings Wake. That was easy for him to handle. He was more concerned with the computer and the satellite as environments and how they affected consciousness.
Mm-hmm. But wait, if Joyce satirized it, he was also affirming it. He's saying, yes, technology is an extension of us.
Yeah.
And McLuhan comes along and says that maybe something's gotten out of control.
Yes, in a way. He just updated. He considered himself applying Joyce.
Uh-huh.
So he updated the breakthroughs in communication laid out in Finnings Wake. But what he realized by 1960, after the satellite environment had been established, which came after television and computer, he realized the satellite kind of completed the technological evolution, because everything moved up to television, which was an extension of the living, dynamic aspects of present consciousness, right there for people, including all sensory modalities in the TV screen, mirroring back at us and resonating with us. Now, the satellite, though, is the astral body that leaps out of the TV computer matrix and goes around the whole media matrix that had been built since the telegraph up and embrace the planet. Now, the satellite's outside of that.
Uh-huh.
So it's a metaphor of the human dying, the collective human dying, and looking back at the history of communications.
What do you mean the collective human dying?
The collective human is the collective consciousness effect brought together by the emerging technologies, especially since telegraph. Because that imploded everything electrically.
But it doesn't actually, it kind of is the jumping off point for a global consciousness, a satellite. I mean,
The global consciousness begins with the telegraph.
Because it's the first worldwide communication system.
Right. Nathaniel Hawthorne and various writers talked about it as a global nervous membrane back in the 1860s. So the people were aware of this implosion by the telegraph, and Teilhard de Chardin then made it a theological point.
But getting back to the satellite itself
is a release from the global consciousness.
It's a
release. It's outside of it. Even though it's within it, it is metaphorically an astral body being formed.
But it's still an extension of who we
are. Oh, yeah, but it's an extension of our astral system.
What do you define astral system? Because
the realms that are not in the physical world. The realms of dream or post-death states.
Uh-huh. So the satellite mirrored our astral body.
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
And that's, if we don't survive death, then it's interesting that what the satellite is a metaphor for that possibility or that hope. But if it's if we do survive death and that gets proven, then that is a mirror of the astral body. You know what I mean? And we have to decide whether there is an astral body. But here's the main point after that, because the satellite goes up in 57, is that from 1960 to 1990, culminating with the internet, what you have is technology no longer being an extension of our body parts and systems, but being an extension of itself.
Oh.
It becomes self-referential, because once you get into post-satellite, you get the instant replay, you then start to get the digital and micro technologies, we'll call it the chip evolutions, and they lead to the internet, which is a medium that contains all previous electric media and pre-electric media. So it actually replays the stages of evolution that humans went through when they extended technologies, and does it rapidly for 30 years.
This
creates a real problem for human communication.
Why does it create a problem? Doesn't it facilitate human communication?
No, because everything from speech, writing, to television is inside a matrix.
Right.
That is basically a miming of its own self and doesn't refer to the human. That's where you get the Android meme. It looks human, but it's the technology extending itself and working out its own evolution.
Yeah, but it doesn't reflect a human evolution, but it reflects its own evolution, which is an extension, again, of who we are. I don't quite see how, through the internet, we've lost control of the machine.
No, this is the internet replays.
Right, I understand. Yeah.
Replays this history right at the point where the human being has reappeared.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, here's what it's very simple. You take a little five-year-old, it's got a laptop, they've got all media. They've got print, they've got movies, they've got newspapers and radio and television all on their lap.
Right.
These things that took thousands of years to build are suddenly all there in a little, what I call, holopathic crucible.
Yeah.
Now, all these technologies were massive environments. Think of what print did for 300 years. Think of what the telegraph, what the railroad, it just wrecked human societies and also created good things. But the point is, all that is put together in this little crucible.
Yeah.
The human being is outside those macro environments. They've become miniaturized.
Yes, but it's nothing without the human being.
Here's the point. Yeah. All these macro environments are now miniaturized, and the human being is now around it. So the human being has finally got past the machine's domination.
Uh-huh.
That is the meaning of the internet. But within communication itself, when we begin to communicate, like, for example, I'm communicating this on this show, which is on a network which can be satellite-ized and go through all different media, all those media are filters for me to make contact in terms of translating what I say, because it goes to many kinds of people and through many kinds of machines. So how do you explain the little kid who's going to go through all these technologies, how are they going to communicate with another human being other than one-on-one? But the technology does allow that to happen, at least to connect and identify people. But the historical weight of each of those media, like money, newspapers, which built America, built republicanism, the movie, the radio, which created World War II, and then television, which created the culture wars, and then the computer creates an identity crisis and allows genetic engineering, which will come in and mutate the human body. All these historical factors are sitting there like a lump of dung, while the human being now is outside and can stand on top of it. But it is dependent on that pile of dung to be in this position. That's the problem here.
This is what you're saying, is that we've lost connection with our first nature, and we are living in a second nature world, which is the electronic digital environment.
Right. Now, here is the point, is that the Android meme is the internet and all these technologies shrinking, becoming human scale, and approximating first nature again. That's the amazing thing, is the last gasp of this second nature evolution of technology is that it begins to look just like first nature and gives us a sense of first nature.
Is that a bad thing, or?
Well, no, the meaning of that has to be decided by different cultural frameworks and different personal psychologies. But it's definitely not a bad thing. It is a big singularity now. And that's what I mean, how we've reappeared as human beings.
We've reappeared through the duplication of this technology, because we were lost.
Were lost in our environments. They were the collective unconscious. Nobody understood the effects of print. When Columbus goes out and conquers North America and the old pre-literate cultures there, Columbus and them didn't understand the effects of their environment. They were just motivated to move out into visual parameters due to the effect of printing and those visual bias technologies. But they encountered a culture which was very powerful in a lot of ways, but not powerful to deal with this new alien print-oriented culture.
Right.
And so the Clash gave the advantage to the Europeans, but the Europeans didn't understand what they're doing, so there was an unconscious awareness of the effects, which created all kinds of problems, which we know.
Well, yeah, the colonialization, yeah. All that. But if we listen to your theory and understand that that's the reappearance, that means we have an addiction to technology.
Ah, that's what the Android meme takes advantage of.
Now, define Android meme, because that's something you...
Right. The Android meme, in simple terms, is this second nature approximating closer and closer first nature, which is our human bodies and all that we're connected to in first nature.
Okay.
It gets closer and closer and becomes more flexible. And I see that with the laptop, with the young child, with the laptop, all these macro second nature things inside and even inside their pocket, you can emphasize the first nature again. But think of the web of historical media that are involved in that. It includes a $1 trillion economic signal bite economy that's whacking around in a resonating sphere constantly, and people have to respond to the historical meaning of money in relation to the electronic money, but that's all within the computer. So this is the illusion of Android meme, is that I'm giving you the whole world. It's your world.
Right.
I have now become first nature. That is the hidden magic, the unconscious effect.
The machine itself thinks it's become first. And then machines like kind of running out of control, have they developed their own consciousness? In that sense?
Yes, they have, because consciousness, in a large part, comes from names. The first technology, when speech named a child, it was very ecological in early societies, how they named somebody.
Right.
That created a sense of the person's consciousness. They weren't necessarily emerged so much anonymously with this blur. They had begun to have an identity. Now, later technologies enhance that identity with their particular biases. Now, the Android meme reconfigures identity and makes it, you have ESP. Because every collective effect of every medium is all inside that laptop.
Uh-huh.
And so the kid is having identity based on ESP.
What ESP, what you call cloning ESP, it's not real ESP, which uses the brain outside
of technology. First nature ESP, that's first nature ESP. The Android meme is a cloning of ESP.
And in what way is it ESP?
Because all of the meanings of each technology that are in your laptop.
Right.
They have collective meanings. The child can manipulate those meanings, and the adult can manipulate and communicate back and forth. So what has been the general trend of cliche about the effect of the internet? That it's a lot of garbage, a lot of nonsense, and a lot of satire, and a lot of violence. And I think that's the human being responding to the ESP and blocking the ESP of the technology on purpose as a satirical response to the Android meme pretending it's ESP.
But if we're using that ESP, where's it all leading? Where's it all going? What do you see as then the future of technology in relationship to the human being?
Well, I think it's leading to me and my wife. You know,
that's
first. What do I mean? The interesting thing is that if you become aware of this process, which I have, then I
interact. The escalating of technology into.
And the disappearance of it, how it came alive and died by 1990, then reincarnated as the Android meme, looking like us and being more flexible and looking like first nature. That process was never understood at all by anybody until I arrived. And I understand it and can articulate it. Now, the Android meme responds to me. You have witnessed this personally around me. The media will start echoing me all the time because I'm sensitive to the cloned ESP.
Well, I have witnessed strange synchronicities around you. You know, people who look like you or people, you know, you say something. I mean, just hanging out.
It happens in the media. The Matrix was about me. There's an article written about that, written on how the Matrix was about me. God, what is it? God, the Devil, and Bob, a new TV show. I just got a message from a friend today that there's a new video game out called Bob, and he's an angel come to clean up the future.
Yeah,
there's a New York Times. The point
who
is...
Who are you?
Right.
I
am that sentient intimacy with the ESP, preserving the first nature ESP in reaction and in relation with the cloned ESP. Therefore, I create xenochrony, which is strange synchronization caused by not trying to allow the synchronization in the cloned ESP to swallow me. that creates an interesting communication paradox.
So let's say you are an example of how the technology has not swallowed you.
Right. I'm the first to see the game it's playing. It will encourage everybody to have the world mirror them. The world will wear your face. This is how the Android meme's going to specialize.
Now, how is it going to do that?
It's going to have all this media and niche market to your brain, to your profile, to your demographic, and you'll have the news reflecting your interests, and it'll just more meet your particular media astrological sign, so to speak. That's the profiling that they hype in Wired magazine and these other magazines about how the media will be incredibly amenable and allow you to have autonomy and confidence in your identity.
How specifically do you see, like, now that person with the laptop, that five-year-old, how is that person going to reappear in
how are they
world?
Going to do that? Yeah. That's the question. I think they have to try to understand the ongoing dialogue that I'm making. I mean, I don't pretend that people understand what we're saying here tonight immediately.
I don't think I understand what you're saying.
And I don't think it can be understood immediately. If it was worth understanding, it wouldn't be understood immediately. It's an ongoing process of training perception, which brings us to Terrence McKenna. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yes. Who people may not know just passed on recently, the beginning of April, and Terrence actually did say that we are on the brink of a post-human society.
Right, now that's very interesting. Terrence and I started emailing in November 98, and then he started to have some other things, and then he got ill, so we didn't get to communicate, but I was...
For people who don't know Terrence, I just have to say he is one of the most brilliant minds that have ever come on the planet, I think. I mean, his analysis of history and the ahistorical society and the postmodern world is brilliant. For anyone who's interested, I would get the Archaic Revival of Food of the Gods, those books. But anyway, you're...
Yeah. So the thing is, what Terrence was pointing out was the post-human.
Yes.
And he used McLuhan and Finnegan's Wake and psychedelics. He mixed this all together, which was an upgrade of what Leary tried to do. Leary did use the Wake and McLuhan, but McKenna emphasized first nature. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say the disservice of McKenna's situation is, because he emphasized
first nature being the body.
Gaia. The whole...
Yes, first nature.
And because he said he preferred natural psychedelics, not synthesized psychedelics.
Right.
That was his political agenda. Retrieve those, and his brother's very active in saving these plants. The thing is, that is, and he gets his prominence in the 90s, that is totally resonant with the Android meme, which is going to be technology looking like first nature. So Terrence fit totally into the agenda of the Android meme because of his emphasizing the first nature. He then said that psychedelics would merge with drugs. Now, that merging happened a long time ago. So I would say that Terrence was in a bind there, a communication problem. He was on the right track, but he didn't make it to the point of clarifying what he meant by post-human singularity in relation to the fact that technology had already been post-humanized, reincarnated.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a challenge for people who didn't know that they had disappeared.
Yeah, but for you, I don't know that much about... I mean, I loved what Terrence said, but I mean, the theory that you're presenting precludes the fact that we actually may take another leap in consciousness that will access more information and transcend the machine, direct acknowledgement of our ESP capabilities or our astral bodies. I mean, that's the chance where we'll go beyond any technology, and then we leave all this behind. I mean,
Now, there's a book by Eric Davis called Technosis, which replays those themes and those celebrations of the potential of this technology, but I don't think that it is a software thing. Now, Terrence emphasized the drug and the software. I think the breakthrough is, using McLuhan's tetrad, we're going to flip into the opposite. The flip would be into hardware. And what would hardware be? It would be cold fusion, these new frictionless-based energies that deal with first nature problems like food and shelter and raw energy and are not information systems of information and ideas and dreams and the imaginary.
But wouldn't software be able... I mean, wouldn't Terrence and Timothy Leary say that they had the access to tap into the hardware, which is the brain, to develop...
No, that's all central nervous system in the interior landscape.
That is
the
hardware that we're... The external, let me understand.
That's not... what I mean by hardware is... the raw energy systems like nuclear energy, begin with fire and then you get nuclear energy, then you get post-nuclear energies. But when you get cold fusion, which merges first and second nature, it is an energy system made by humans that has the same qualities of immortality that first nature, like the sun's energy, has.
You mean no energy, perpetual motion?
Perpetual motion is a cliche way of saying it. Yes.
Of cold fusion. Yeah. So how does that? Let's say we have an endless source of energy.
Right.
How would that merge a first and second nature?
Because it is immortal, like first nature. It's a man-made technology. Humans made it, and anything we've ever made always had friction qualities. Uh-huh. But cold fusion is frictionless. Therefore, it's like the endless nature of the first world. Nature doesn't end.
It's
immortal.
Yes.
You know, it goes through transformation, but it's immortal. We've never had a technology that does that. The cold fusion and these new energies will, and that would provide a basis that gets beyond all the cultural arguments and software ideology that we're lost in right now.
Uh-huh, you know,
ideas are what the economy runs on now. It celebrates ideas, trivializes ideas in all forms, and that is the final trap of the Android meme, is to celebrate the brain and not the first nature. The brain is first nature, but the technological extension of the brain, the interior landscape we're in, is the final seduction. That's what I'm concerned about.
And the final seduction being
a disservice, where we would disappear.
We disappear, and the machine would become conscious and take over.
Right, and it would, which it already has, and we don't know what it would look like as it celebrated that triumph. But I think cold fusion is a technology that betrays the software agenda of the Android meme and allows this breakthrough of return to the ground, where we can stand on the earth and have endless energy, and I don't need to pay rent endlessly for oil.
Do you think there's a conspiracy of sorts to keep the machine going, as opposed to, because there's been a suppression of perpetual motion and cold fusion, so how do we overcome that battle? How do we win that battle?
Well, that's where the matter is rested in my shoulders. That's where I am the first to disappear. I've killed a lot of people in the conspiracy and helped us move beyond that. It's not completed yet, but there's a lot of things that I've done that I can't announce yet.
No,
a lot of effects. Right.
Yeah.
But that is my historical battle within the Illuminati, was what I was involved in, was to break down that control, which was based on culture, old media. It was very complex. And Finnegan's Wake explains that. I mean, Finnegan's Wake is about a Freemasonic society.
Right. So let's say we have these cold fusion machines that give us endless amounts of energy. What role will technology play then?
What do you mean by technology?
I mean the laptop computer.
The software. Then people will be able to form their own communities, what I call mythic stages, around whatever software pattern they have a bias towards. So you can have a community of vegetarians who like mescaline, or you have a community of meat eaters who like LSD, or you can have people who want to live like the Amish, don't have anything to do with drugs.
Right.
Any little setup will be possible. There'll be a voluntary way of building up community.
Mm-hmm.
Because the structure of what community always fought over, which was food and shelter, will have been satisfied.
Right.
So the identity games will come out of software battles, and they'll be more playful.
So we're getting there now with the internet.
We are in that now.
Well, except we haven't had the
cold fusion. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's the problem. We will remain in the software game, and culture is a game now. It's endless manipulation satire on people. I mean, you get on there, you're a guest on a show, you're made fun of, and then the next show comes on, and they have their guests, and everybody. It's called not use value or exchange value, but abuse value. That's what the economy is run on, abuse value, in the software game thing.
Uh-huh.
So how are we going to get out of that software game? Because Fleischmann and Pons, when they announced the invention, discovery, the success of it in March 89, there were a lot of complaints about the faxing of it and a lot of software arguments about whether it was true or not. And this software game played by the factions who promoted it or didn't promote it was lost in the communication jungle.
Mm.
And the fact of it, which would continue to be proven in labs around the world in the 90s, that cannot get out to the major media.
Right. But even with all this stuff, I mean, of course, we want to get that information out, but there's still a fear that I have is that media technology, even with the cold fusion, will take over our lives and we'll lose our connection to first nature altogether.
Technology always takes over your life. The new yoga is to understand how to get detachment from that process. But the detachment that's offered by the religious disciplines, the secret disciplines, the traditional yogic disciplines, the esoteric, aren't adequate to a detachment within the media software itself, within the yoga that's required of the media world that you're worried about. How do we develop that yoga? That's what I'm an expert on.
Well, we do. Well, in the past, we've developed it by, you know,
running away.
Exactly.
Running, that won't work. You can't do that anymore.
Work. So we have to use technology to serve us, of course,
right,
without losing ourselves in it.
That is the new yoga. What is the strategy you use for identity or to put your identity that you're addicted to in check? And one of the best manuals for that is Finnegan's Wake, which has the history of technology, history of communication, and it requires a training of perception in understanding it, and it helps you have a training of perception in dealing with the Android meme, which I think is where Terrence McKenna missed the boat, because he got caught in the ruse of enlightenment. And this argument over enlightenment confuses the issue over perception.
Well, talk about that. I mean, the argument over enlightenment means you transcend the worldly attachments.
Right. Now that, as the Android meme invades your imaginary, your inner consciousness, and maybe even replace you on the computer matrix when you die, how are you going to get detachment from that? That requires perception of the ratio of effects. Mm-hmm. Not a goal. So it means a drama of cognition. The drama of cognition, as we're engaging in right now, as we exchange memes, that drama is what you need to become skilled in perceiving as is translated in the media.
What's a meme, though?
A meme is a collective ESP.
Uh-huh.
It's the 100-monkey effect. Uh-huh. For example, when people started learning to write and then the whole society was writing, that's a meme that becomes a habit. That's a given.
I see. It becomes like a thought form overlay for the whole culture.
Right, right. So technologies as collective unconsciousness are memes.
I mean, you cite Finnegan's Wake, but you know, Finnegan's Wake is actually almost an impossible book to read. You have to understand. It's the book of the subconscious, unconscious.
That's
right. Joyce knew, 10 different languages that he wove into that as a way of
not just language, the unconscious of technology.
Yes, but anyone picking up Finnegan's Wake might think it's incomprehensible.
Right, that's where you have a training of perception. It requires, you have to understand the value of it, because it includes all languages and newer technologies.
Uh-huh.
Then it's solidified in a stable book. As you learn how to read Finnegan's Wake, you see it's a mirror to the rest of the world.
Well,
it's the manual.
Yeah, but I mean, what's incredible about Finnegan's Wake, it changes every time you read it.
That's right, which is when you get up on them, there's new news every day.
Right.
And they change the news. What's important one day is not as important the next day.
That's
now, 100 years ago, societies weren't that fast.
That's right.
So you see Finnegan's Wake is mirroring the electric speed up right there.
Yeah, and it's circular as well,
because
it comes back to the river of time, basically.
That's what I am. I'm a process of interaction of time, the river, and the mountain.
You are.
That's what I am.
How do you see yourself that way? I mean, what do you mean?
Well, then we'd have to go through the yoga of understanding Finney's Wake to see what I mean by that. I make a statement like Joyce does. He makes a statement, and then he unfolds whole pages of resonances with that statement. So what I just said, that I am I am time, the river, and the mountain, resonates with what I already said and what I'll say in the next shows or the further conversations.
Right. So we'll have further conversations. What was the last thing you wanted to say?
Are we near the end?
We are near the end.
We'll be back.
Which is what most technologies say. You sure you're not a spokesperson for the technology itself?
Oh, I can't help but be that. That's the problem.
Well, for anyone who has any idea of what was said here, please please call 212-473-6388. I'd love your comments. I've been talking to Bob Dobbs, the first person to reappear from the technological soup, I would say. And you can roll the credits, and we'll just go out with the idea that if we understand that Finnegan's Wake is the manual for the new technological
Bucky Fuller said we did not have an operating manual for Spaceship Earth. Well, we do have a manual now with Finnegan's Wake.
But we have to learn how to read it.
Right, and that's, now you begin with Reedy McLuhan because he spent his life translating Finnegan's Wake.
Yes, but how would the average person go and read Finnegan's Wake? I mean, just first understand title.
Go to my website.
Oh, yeah, give me a website.
Well, you can email me at purpleingress.com, but we don't have the website unless you put it up. But you'd go to the website, and I'll explain beginning the 10 Thunders of Finnegan's Wake, which is what one of these is.
Right.
But it's an ongoing dialogue. It's not something you do over a weekend and then you've mastered. No way. It may take several lifetimes, but if we work on it and get it established, we can do it within 6-7 years.
So we'll have more shows with Bob Dobbs, Bob Jobs, who actually inspired the Church of the Subgenius and many other media mythoses.
Like the Matrix.
Like the Matrix itself. I mean, yeah. You claim that the Matrix is
Journalist who knew my work saw the movie, and he wrote an article saying it was about me.
And Bob's actually a writer for Flipside Magazine.
Yes.
And the website is?
www.positone.com/bob.html. If you get a chance, maybe you'll write it up.
Right. And your
email, purple@ingress.com.
I'm Alan Steinfeld. This is New Realities. Thank you for watching. And please let me know if you've understood anything that you've heard here. Thanks a lot. See you next time.